Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better healthcare. Learn more at nm.org/better.
Hey, let's talk a little bit about your health for just a few minutes with Dr. Jeffrey Copen, the Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine's Lake Forest Hospital. Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better healthcare, sponsors these conversations. Hey, Doc, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, John. How are you today?
Good. Here's a good medical healthy tip for everybody. Don't hold the firework in your hand and then wait for the fuse just before it blows to throw it. Don't even do that. Doctor, your thoughts?
John, it's genius. And I know there's been so much talk about cognitive decline with aging.
Thank you.
In your case, there's no cognitive decline.
About that.
You're perfect.
Got that all by myself. Actually, I'll bet emergency rooms are busy on the 4th and 5th of July.
Yeah, you would be, I don't think you'd be amazed, but it's unfortunate the types of injuries that we see from fireworks that are not used properly. People think they know what they're doing. They don't. These are explosive devices, everyone, so please be careful. Don't use fireworks if you don't know what you're doing.
And by the way, you don't know what you're doing, Dad, so just stop it already. Let's move on. There's a story in the Times the other day. New COVID shots recommended for Americans 6 months and older this fall. Hopefully people, if that's true and that's healthy, then hopefully people are over the anxiety of giving the COVID vaccination to the kids under the age of two. That was a big issue a couple of years ago, Doctor.
Yes, and I think just people getting immunizations in general is still an issue. We know that from the experience we have with the latest round of COVID vaccines. What you're referring to, John, is that the CDC's Advisory Committee on Vaccination came out with a unanimous recommendation to the CDC that everybody eligible get the COVID vaccine when we get into the fall. You know, it's hard to believe we're already in July. We'll probably have these vaccinations available as early as September. So it's not too many months away when we're going to be talking seriously about people getting the vaccination. So they're recommending this committee of experts, and they really are experts. I mean, these are the top vaccine people in the country. The recommendation is that everybody eligible should get it. And I think, John, as we get closer, it's something we'll be talking a lot about, encouraging our listeners to make sure that they and people they know get vaccinated as soon as we get the new vaccine.
This isn't the combo with the flu, is it?
Now, that's not going to be available, they think, until 2025.
Do you think there'll come a day when the MMR that kids get when they're born or they have to have demonstrated before they go to school anyway. Do you think that that will include a COVID vaccination at some point?
So interesting. I don't think anybody can speculate, because it really would be speculation. There's so much evolution going on with the COVID virus. What the COVID virus is going to look like a year from now, 2 years from now, 5 years from now, we don't know. Hopefully it will simply become another coronavirus. That's the family of viruses that COVID lives in. And there are other coronaviruses that cause the common cold. So it would be wonderful if the COVID virus would become like its cousins, and it will just become like a common cold, and we won't need to get vaccinated anymore for it. We're not at that point, but I hope that happens in the future.
Would it be because we'd have such sufficient baseline immunity in the general population that we wouldn't have to worry too much about who's abiding by it and who's not?
There's that for sure. And boy, we're in a way better place, aren't we, today?
Yeah.
With the baseline immunity in the population compared to where we were 4 years ago. But it also has to do with the development and continued evolution of the virus becoming far less disease-causing. Think about the common cold. No one likes getting a common cold, but it's a common cold, right? It would be great if it could be the same thing for COVID in the future.
Here's a headline. COVID is surging right now. This is the number one symptom to look out for, according to infectious disease experts. It's a story I saw on Yahoo. You know, some of the common symptoms are body aches and chills. Are you up to speed on what I'm looking at here, and what's your thought about that?
Yeah, you know, I think that's the article, John, where somebody said it's sore throat.
Yes.
I think in that physician's experience currently, a lot of his patients are complaining of sore throat. Sure. But, you know, sore throats, body aches, cough, all the stuff we've been talking about, we still have the same symptoms. The good news is it's really rare now for people to lose their sense of smell and taste from when they get a COVID infection. Remember, that's how we knew we had it back in the early days, right? All the folks that early on in 2020 lost their sense of smell, their sense of taste, that was inevitably going to be COVID. Now it's much rarer that people are losing their sense of smell and taste.
You're right. I mean, well, I'm sure you are, but you're absolutely right. I haven't heard much conversation about that. Was it that the virus damaged your olfactory nerves or something in your nose or your brain? I mean, do we know why people lost their sense of taste and smell, and is there hope they'll recover it?
Yeah, so there was a lot of good research done, and indeed there was direct damage to the olfactory nerve, which has to do with smell. Exactly why that was happening, we're not 100% sure, but that seems to be what was occurring. The good news is the vast majority of people who did lose sense of taste and smell did regain the sensation, but for some people it took quite a while, well over a year.
Hmm. Dr. Jeffrey Copen, the Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine's Lake Forest Hospital. By the way, Doctor, I just wanted to mention something else to you. There was a neurologist on News Nation's Morning in America, their morning news magazine show, a guy named Dr. Tom Pitts. He said that you should not be taking a daily multivitamin. If you have a good enough diet, you're going to get all the vitamins you need, and you're just overflowing with vitamins that your body can't process. He said it's like putting 7 gallons of water in a 1 gallon jug. It can't accommodate all of that. And in fact, it might actually be bad for your health. What's your thought about that in general?
It depends on the individual, Jen. I think it's a general statement for somebody who's relatively healthy and eats a good balanced diet. Dr. Pitts is correct. I wouldn't disagree with him at all. There are other people, particularly as we get older, who, because of their diet or other medical issues, might indeed require certain vitamins, including a multivitamin. So I would not be so quick to make a general statement like apparently this Dr. Pitts did. I think we have to be very sensitive to each individual's medical needs.
I take a vitamin D because they say I don't get enough sunlight. I'll bet a lot of people take or could use more vitamin D. What do you think of that?
Yeah, that's true, particularly in our climate. It takes sunlight in order to make vitamin D. We come through a long winter in the Chicago area. We know that there's a vitamin D deficiency in many folks. So that's something worth looking into. Having said that, many, many people do not need vitamin D supplementation. So please don't take this as reason to run out and get everyone getting vitamin D. It's something to discuss with your healthcare professional.
I also pop an occasional vitamin C gummy because they're delicious.
That's a good reason. You know, a good vitamin C gummy when you're having a bad day, John, it only can help.
Well, it's almost like a little treat for me. And then I'm thinking, hey, I got a little extra vitamin C and I haven't had much citrus lately, but you're not too worried about that. Am I hearing you correctly?
Correct. You know, I remember it wasn't too many years ago, but it was pretty many years ago. There was a lot of excitement about big doses of vitamin C to ward off all kinds of bad diseases.
Yeah, yeah.
There was a lot of excitement about big doses of vitamin E to ward off all kinds of illnesses. And it turned out, and this is what Dr. Pitts was talking about, the exact opposite thing was happening. It turned out that mega doses of these vitamins actually were bad for people and there were toxic effects of too high a dose of vitamins. And thankfully, that craze, for the most part, went away.
That's funny because my junior college basketball team, so we're practicing late into the evening or, you know, into the early evening in the wintertime, and then we're getting on buses and we're making road trips. And the coach was worried that we were all going to get colds and get sick and we wouldn't be able to play basketball. So he had a great big canister of vitamin C tablets, you know, like horse pills. And he said, load up on those. Just get as much vitamin C as you can. Maybe not the best advice, huh?
Now, John, maybe that explains a lot of what's happened to you since, right? I would not want to hear people do that.
Right.
Now, you know, particularly big horse pills, who knows where they came from, right? Made in someone's garage someplace. We always have to be careful when someone suggests we take, you know, take this, it's going to be really good for you. You don't know what it is. So you probably shouldn't do it.
Dr. Jeffrey Copens, the Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine's Lake Forest Hospital. Let's talk next week, Doc.
Okay, John. Hey, everybody, have a wonderful Independence Day.
Yeah, and don't shoot off a bunch of firecrackers.